Today on Life Talk.
Just as one application from the shepherd is not enough to ward off the flies for the whole summer, just one touch from God's Spirit on a Sunday morning is not enough to ward off the distractions for the rest of the week. We all need to know how to access the living waters on our own, in our own prayer closet, in our own devotional time.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
As we continue today in our study of the timeless 23rd Psalm, let's keep in mind that the 23rd Psalm is written by David, who had been a shepherd long before he was a king. So he writes this beloved psalm from the viewpoint of a genuine, experienced shepherd with intimate knowledge of taking care of sheep. In the context of this fifth verse we will look at this time, is that the sheep are approaching the high mountain country where they will spend the summer months. These ranges are known as tablelands or mesas, the Spanish word for tables. So when David says in the first half of verse 5, "You prepare a table before me," he's not talking about a dinner table, but the entire summer range where the sheep are going to graze. Today's message is going to be a real eye-opener, and I can't wait to share it. So let's get started and follow along with me as I share part two of the message, "He Prepares, He Anoints."
Our good shepherd has already gone ahead of us and prepared a glorious source of pure, clean, spiritual water. And there's several of them. One of them you hold in your hand, but I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But the other one is living inside of you. He gave his word, which Paul said Jesus uses to cleanse us like water. He gave us his word. Say with me the word. The word is a source of water, spiritual water. Listen to this verse, Ephesians 5:26. "That he might sanctify her," talking about us, the church, "having cleansed her," talking about us. How? By the washing of water with what? Say it with me. The word. So when we read the word, we are literally experiencing our souls being washed by spiritual water. Have you ever just, when you come out of time in God's word, you feel so clean. You feel so good. Have you ever noticed that? That's because you got washed. The Lord washes us with the water of the word. And he also gave us his spirit. He made sure that we had good spiritual drinking water. He gave us his spirit, which he compared to water. Isaiah 12 verse 3 says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Well, that's not talking about H2O. That's talking about the well of salvation. And what kind of water comes out of the well of salvation? The Holy Spirit. He told the woman at the well that he had water, speaking of the Holy Spirit, that once she drank of, she would never thirst again. And she said, "Give me some of this water." Then he messed with her stuff. He said, "Okay, you want some of that water? Go get your husband." She said, "Oh, Lord, now you're going where we don't really need to go because I don't really have a husband." He said, "You're right. You're shacked up." Now, what was he doing? He was getting her to repent of her sin so that he could give her living water. And this woman ended up being the first New Testament evangelist, going into the town, preaching, "Come see a real man. Come see a real man who told me everything I ever did." And the whole town turned out to see Jesus, and the Bible says many of them were saved because of this woman. Now, keep in mind that the tableland was on the mountaintop. It was a mountaintop experience for these sheep to be led by the shepherd along the winding paths leading up to the tableland, which was at the mountaintop. And the Christian walk is often a mountaintop experience where our good shepherd leads us to a spiritual high point. I've had several really spiritual, powerful high points. I'm so thankful to God for it. It was the high points where I got called It was the high points. And man, when God gives you a spiritual high point, soak it up. You're going to need it because the journey is long. Remember when the angel told Elijah, you better eat this wonder bread and really take advantage of what I'm giving you because the journey is too far for you without supernatural bread. So when God gives us a spiritual blessing that is a high point, that's exactly what a real shepherd does with his sheep. He takes them up to these plateaus, these tablelands that are in the mountaintops. And he has prepared the table in plain view, the table for you and me, in plain view of the devil who would like to demoralize and destroy us if he could. That's what he was trying to do with Peter. He was trying to demoralize him and destroy him through shame because Peter denied Christ. But Jesus came and restored him, and boy, did he go to a mountaintop shortly with the day of Pentecost and being filled with the Holy Spirit. But now, speaking of mountaintop experiences, I want to keep it real. Even though the shepherd goes ahead of the sheep to prepare the way, it does not mean they're not going to have problems. I am never going to sit here and tell you, oh, if you really follow Jesus and you really become a disciple of his and you really bear down and you put your arms tight around the Lord and you press in strong and you pray all the time and read the Bible all the time, you're going to be insulated in a special little spiritual bubble. No way. Sometimes you have worse battles because the devil sees what's happening to you and he attacks. See, the real shepherd leading real sheep to the mountaintop knows predators can still attack. Poisonous weeds can still grow, and storms can still suddenly appear. How many of you know this is true? Amen? Yet, when they do appear, our good shepherd makes even those things somehow work for his glory and our good. If you hang on and stay faithful. If you hang on and stay faithful. If you pick up your marbles and go home and quit reading the Bible and quit praying and get out of church and go out into the world, no, you can't expect him to come and bless you in that context. It's when you're going through a trial and you don't understand his hand, you got to trust his heart. And as you stay true to him, even in the trial, that is when he says, okay, I'm going to work this for your good. I'm going to bring you out on the other side. It may take a while, but you're going to come out purified like gold. Amen. He promises some gladness amidst our sadness, some delightful days amongst the dark days, sunshine, not just shadow. No matter what we pass through, our shepherd is right by our side. Amen. So I want you to say with me, he prepares a table before me. While the enemy watches on. Don't you love that? I love it. He makes the devil watch as he blesses you and leads you to good grazing land. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise? Amen. Now, I want to recap before launching into the second part of this verse. Let's just keep these things in mind. David is recounting the key events of a full year in the sheep's life. That's the 23rd Psalm. He takes us with him from the home ranch, verse 1, where every need is so carefully supplied by the owner. He takes us onto the green pastures, the still waters, up through the mountain valleys, to the high tablelands of summer that we just explored. So what this is a year in the life of a flock of sheep. All right? Now in verse 5, they're in the high meadows. They're in a sublime setting where there are clear running springs, where the forage is fresh and tender, where there is the intimate close contact with the shepherd, but suddenly there is a problem. Everybody say, problems happen. Amen. Suddenly there is a problem, an issue, and it's a fly in the ointment, so to speak, a real one, because it just so happens the summertime is fly time. Now in Texas, it's skeeter time. I live near some water. And man, I'm telling you, as soon as June arrives, if you go out back on the patio, you are going to be devoured alive. It's mosquito time. But David was thinking, and David dealt in the world of fly time. Fly time for the sheep is when hordes of insects emerge in the warm weather to harass the sheep. Let's name a few. They're so wonderful and beautiful to just hear. So here they are. Warble flies, bot flies, heel flies, nasal flies, deer flies, black flies, mosquitoes, and gnats. Doesn't that sound like fun? And now, here's the fact. The sheep are especially troubled by the nasal fly. I would be too. That really bugs me. I don't even like to read it. The nasal fly. Because here's what a nasal fly does to these poor sheep. They lay their eggs in the sheep's nasal passages. That produces larvae that literally crawl up into the sheep's head. I know, everybody just take a minute. If you need to get up and run to the restroom, I understand. That's good. Isn't that terrible? But this is real life, so I'm just going to tell you the truth. And they bring torment to this sheep. What is he going to do? He has no hands to deal with this. He has no brain to deal with it. He's a D-U-M-B sheep. So for relief, here's what these poor sheep will do. They'll beat their heads against trees and beat their heads against rocks. In extreme cases, they'll even kill themselves to find relief from the torment of these nasal flies. Now, the sheep's only hope, everybody, is once again the shepherd. At the very first sign of flies, he'll apply an antidote to their heads, smearing it all over their head and all over the sheep's nose. And that's what David has in mind when he says, "You anoint my head with oil." Acting as an insect repellent, this makes an incredible difference with the sheep, because the aggravation and the fear and the torment are gone because the shepherd saw the problem and anointed their head with oil. Now, it's very easy to see the application for us today, because all of this is written for us to get something out of. How easy it is for we human beings to get a fly in the ointment of our thinking. Remember now, this is all happening in the sheep's head. And things happen in our head. As a matter of fact, 98% of the battles you and I experience with the devil happen in between our two ears, in the gray matter, in our thought life. The mind is the battlefield.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us, or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Spiritual warfare takes place on the battlefield of the mind. When you're tempted, it happens in your mind. When you have doubts, it happens in your mind. When you think wicked thoughts, it all happens in your mind. Every action you do began with a thought in your mind. All right? Everything we do, every place we go, everything we say has its origination in our minds, in our thought life. And it's easy for us to get a fly in the ointment of our thinking. Petty annoyances. Have you ever noticed how a petty annoyance, if you don't get rid of it, will grow until you feel like banging your head against a wall? Offenses. Oh my, offenses. How the devil uses offenses. We've got a nation that is offended constantly. Find me somebody that's not offended by something, and I'll show you somebody in the minority. Because political correctness has ruined us in this way. We're babies. The littlest thing, and we get all offended, and the offense grows, and it's just like these nasal flies. It's a thought that gets into your mind, the offense. And the more you think about it, the more it grows until it's tormenting you, just like these sheep are tormented. Do you see the parallel? Distraction. Burning issues can carry us to the point of despair if we don't deal with the thought in its infancy. If we don't get spiritual oil on our thought life, then the slightest little thing can carry us to a place of despair. The devil plants thoughts that can harass and torment us. He does it in your marriage. He does it with you and your kids. He does it with your kids and you. He does it at the workplace. He does it with you and yourself. You'll get something going through your brain that the devil put there. It's a thought. It's a seed thought. I'm going to say it. It's a nasal fly. And it's laid eggs in your thought life. And now you're not thinking about Jesus. You're thinking about the offense, or you're thinking about the doubts or the fears or whatever it is. And without an anointing, it drives us to distraction. I mean, it's easy to see his success, the devil's success, in our society today. Look at our society today. How badly does American culture need the anointing oil of the Lord Jesus Christ on their thought life? Oh, come on, everybody. Because people are angry. They're irritable. They're miserable. They fly off the handle over nothing. Like I was pulling out of here this week. I pulled out right down here. I'm going down the service road, mine and my own. I'm in a little Hyundai, and I'm just going down the service road, and a guy in a pickup didn't like the way. You know what? I don't know what he didn't like. But all of a sudden, he's right here. He has pulled over, and he's this far from ramming me, and he's looking at me, and I could see him mouthing something. And I'm just, you know, just Pastor Jeff, just going down the service road in a little Hyundai. You know, I wasn't driving a power car, a little Hyundai with my bike rack on the back. I'm innocent. I'm harmless. I really am a huggable, lovable little teddy bear. And here's this guy, and I mean, he's giving me a look that was murder. And I was thinking, it takes nothing anymore. Nothing for grown adults to totally lose it. You know why? They got nasal flies in their brains. They're so overwhelmed with life. They're so on the edge. So many things are working in their thought life that they don't have the patience of a flea. That's free. I just thought I'd share that story, let you know that things do happen to me too. And man, did I slow down. It's like, see ya. And this guy, you know, hat on, the whole bit. I thought he's going to follow me. So it was just one of those things. So filled with hate, filled with offenses, filled with fear. Now, here's what our culture does. Some choose to self-medicate to numb the torment because it's torment. Man, I don't have any peace. I don't have any joy. I'm not enjoying life. I'm angry at this, that, and the other. I'm offended. I'm not getting along with the spouse at home. I'm bugged about everything. My job's not going well. I'm not making enough money, this and that and the other. And I don't have any peace with God, so I'm all on my own. So they self-medicate. They turn to false philosophies or religions in search of answers. They throw back the alcohol, do the drugs. See, to me it's not a matter of if you drink or not. Or here's what people say, why are drugs wrong? Because didn't God make them? They say to me about pot, God made it. Besides, it's legal in Colorado. And I say, you're not in Colorado. But here's the deal, he made poison ivy too. You gonna smoke that? Seriously, just because it's there doesn't mean you're supposed to smoke it. This isn't even in my notes. All right. But what I want to know is, but why do you want to smoke it? Why do you want to drink it? Here's why. I want to know what pain is going on inside of you that could be healed. What are you trying to numb? And other people just live in misery. They just live in misery. But for the Christian, there's anointing oil from the hand of our good shepherd. And first, God has given us the peace and calm of his spirit. It says he brings the peace that passes all understanding. Everybody say anointing oil. He anoints my head with the peace that passes understanding. But it's important to note that just as one application from the shepherd is not enough to ward off the flies for the whole summer, just one touch from God's Spirit on a Sunday morning is not enough to ward off the distractions for the rest of the week. We all need to know how to access the living waters on our own, in our own prayer closet, in our own devotional time. Amen? The daily touch of the Spirit of God produces in our character the opposite of what we see in the world. The fruits of joy, contentment, love, patience, peace begin to appear. The opposite of what was on that man that was so mad at me. This time spent in God's presence is what David had in mind when he wrote, "You anoint my head with oil." And then along with maddening insects are also the parasites that cause what is called scab time. Sheep have such a good time. They got fly time. They got scab time. Scab is an irritating and highly contagious disease among sheep that spreads throughout the flock by direct contact. Do you know that sheep love to rub heads together in a show of affection? And when they do, they spread that disease, scab. Now, again, the only answer is the anointing oil, but this time, the shepherds got to totally immerse them in the oil to get rid of the disease off their whole body. They must be totally dipped, like we would dip a dog for a flea dip. Then the disease is stopped. Now listen carefully to me, because there's metaphors, parallels here. Likewise, it's when we rub heads with others that we often pick up diseased ideas, emotions, offenses, worldviews. There's no way that we can spend time, consistent quality time, with a person without picking up their attitudes, their ideas, or their thoughts. There's just no way. That's why the Bible says if you're a Christian, don't marry a non-Christian. Marry a Christian. Okay? Especially in today's world of mass media, we're in grave danger of picking up thought disease. Ideas and views that are totally contrary to Scripture. You pick them up, you get out there on the internet, you can read anything. You read loony, crazy, nutty stuff. But people get out there on the internet, on social media forums, and they read these things. And what they're doing is they're rubbing heads with somebody, sharing thoughts with somebody whose thoughts are not biblical. Folks, are you aware of how you need to protect your mind? Protect your thoughts? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we need God thoughts. We don't need worldly thoughts. So how many countless parents, I've known a few, have watched their children's attitudes and ideas undergo radical change once they discovered Facebook or some other social media forum, right? And before you know it, they're acting different, talking different, walking different, living different. You go, where'd you get this? I was rubbing heads with somebody on social media, and I picked up their ideas. See, I'm real careful who I read. I'm real careful what I watch. I'm real careful that I all the time have the Word of God going in me. You say, well, Jeff, you're just super spiritual. No, I'm not. I'm surviving. I do it so that I will be victorious. So I listen to messages all the time from many different people, Bible messages, sermons. I listen to messages so the Word is always going into me, because I want the Word to wash me. I want the wisdom of the Word. I want my faith built. I want to walk with God. I want victory. So I'm always taking in Scripture. It's something I do. But these people that read the Bible once a week, and then they're in People magazine and reading newspapers and all these other things that are just worldly thoughts, they're rubbing heads, taking in ideas that are not godly. The only way to attain such a mind free of the world's contamination is to apply the oil of God's Word to our heads. He anoints my head with oil. As we read and meditate on God's Word, the oil of His Spirit is applied to our thoughts, chasing out ungodly ones and replacing them with God's thoughts. But here's the deal. We have to do it. It's our decision whether or not we want to have a free thought life. As the old saying goes, God can lead us to the water, but He cannot make us drink. He's given us the oil of His Spirit and His Word, but we've got to apply it. And now I want to close with this. Also, in the body of Christ at large, Christians not only, as it were, rub heads affectionately through godly fellowship, but they also bump heads in conflict, causing offenses. And I can tell you as a pastor of many years that much of the grief, the wounds, the hurts, the ill will, and the grudges in Christians' lives can be traced back to old conflicts that were never healed or forgiven. This Sunday, throughout the American church scene, untold thousands of people will refuse to go to church due to unresolved, unforgiven offenses. And the oil of God's Word is available, but they stubbornly refuse it. I don't know about you. Life's too short to get away from the shepherd and live in unrest and torment and hassle and harassment. No. I want to walk in His peace. What about you? Come on, everybody. And let me just read this last little bit to you. A wonderful thought to begin the day with is that the Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, is there for us every morning when we awake. And what's He there to do? To anoint our heads with oil. The oil of His Word and the oil of His Spirit. Don't leave home without it. Don't leave home without it.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.